Well, the 40 days of festivity are almost over. It all began on November 23rd with Thanksgiving, the day we remembered God's incredible faithfulness and goodness to us, as well as how much turkey or pie we shouldn't have eaten at one sitting. The following day was the busiest shopping day of the year and the most encouraging for local merchants. Next came the decorations, lights, Christmas music, goodies, presents, parties, and Pepto-Bismol. But most importantly, our reflection upon God's amazing love in sending us a Savior, born some 2,000 years ago in a little Judean town called Bethlehem. But just when you think you can relax and breathe again, the calendar throws another holiday at us just a week later, New Year's. Though it hasn't always been this way, back in the Middle Ages, New Year's Day was celebrated on March 25th. Did you know that? They called it Annunciation Day, the day the mother of Mary, the mother of Jesus, supposedly was told by the angel Gabriel that she would give birth to the Son of God. It wasn't until 1582, the year the Gregorian calendar was introduced, that people started celebrating New Year's on January 1st. I'd like you to consider that day with me. It's the holiday where time is the focus. The television networks show their historical specials, reminding us of all the momentous things which occurred during the time of last year. Tabloid front covers are plastered with articles predicting what will take place in the time of next year. And tonight, on New Year's Eve, millions of Americans will stare at a clock and a ball in Times Square, announcing the beginning of a time we will call 2024. Time. In God's world, it doesn't exist because He is eternal, having no beginning and no end. Theologian David Needham, writing about God's eternality, says, "With God, there is no succession of moments. There's no future, there's no past. He sees everything as one eternal now. And He can see the whole play of history, all of it in action right now. He doesn't have to look back. He doesn't have to look ahead. He just sees it with the end as much immediate to Him as the beginning." It blows your mind trying to grasp. But for us, God has created time. We have been placed in a world of time. A fixed and definite period measured by years, months, days, hours, minutes, and seconds. And the Lord has already determined the beginning and end of time for each of us in this room. He knew the time of our conception, and He knows the exact time of our death. As Diana just read in Ecclesiastes 3:11, He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. As I've thought about New Year's and its focus on time, I've been personally challenged once again to think about my responsibility and stewardship as a Christian, and my attitude toward the use of my time. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity." Now, for those of you who learned or memorized the King James Version, you're more familiar with the words redeeming the time. But the New American Standard Bible translates that phrase, making the most of your time. This morning, with only a few hours left in 2023, I want us to consider why God instructs us to make the most of every opportunity, to redeem the time or make the most of our time. And the points I'm going to make come from a gem of a book I read about 30 years ago entitled Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. The author, Donald Whitney, gives 5 reasons from Scripture why the use of our time as followers of Jesus is such a big deal. And for sake of time, and for sake of turning from passage to passage, I'm going to put the Scriptures up on the screen. Feel free to turn in your Bibles if you want, but they'll be on the screen. The first reason we should make the most of our time is because time is short. James 4:13-14 reads, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." The oldest half-brother of Jesus boldly confronted a common attitude many people have that the time we have today and the time we have tomorrow is guaranteed. That somehow you and I are in control of the days and years we have on this planet. But James described our life as a vapor, a mist, a puff of smoke that appears and disappears. Meaning, compared to eternity, our time on this earth is so very brief. This was also the perspective of Job, that blameless man who endured such loss and suffering, described our lives as swifter than a weaver's shuttle, but a breath, as a cloud that vanishes and is gone, as but a shadow, and swifter than a runner. Now, when you consider the average lifespan today, which was just changed to 78 years, and you break it down, it's not very long. 78 years is 936 months. And 936 months is 28,470 days. So many of us in this room have a lot less days to live than we've already lived. Therefore, Moses' words to God in Psalm 90, verse 12, are extremely relevant. He wrote, "Teach us to number our days." Teach us to number our days. The New Living Translation reads, "Teach us to realize the brevity of life." That's not just true for old people. Accidents and diseases do not discriminate according to age. Consider Johnny Erickson Tada, who became a quadriplegic at the age of 17 after diving into shallow water, and has also battled cancer a couple of times. I want you to listen to what she has learned through all of that.
Well, when you sent it to me, of course, it's a favorite verse of mine, Psalm 90, verse 12. "Teach me to number my days, O Lord, that I might apply my heart to wisdom." I had gotten a diagnosis of reoccurring cancer. I had cancer 8 years ago, and it's back. And when you sent me the song, it was, Jesus, how we are but a wisp of smoke, fading vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. And so I better treasure my days, things I don't count, I waste. You know, but we're so good at counting calories, we're so good at counting, you know, the money in the bank, we're so good at counting, you know, everything that needs to be counted and how many eggs are in the refrigerator, but we so fail to count our days, which are probably the most precious things we have. And so the song is such an anthem for me right now, going through radiation and fighting this cancer, you know, to count my days.
counting the number of my days, that I may gain a heart of wisdom and follow in God's ways. It won't be long, I will be gone, I'll see Him face to face. So I'm counting the number of my days. Won't be long, I'll be forgotten by this world. But I will never be forgotten in the world that's yet to come. 'Cause I will see the one who knew me before I was known. So I'm counting the number of my days. Lord, help me see the world that's yet awaiting me. Help me release all these temporary things so I can find your peace and give away your love.
And I'll be counting.
Oh Lord, I'll keep counting. The number of my days. It won't be long, I will be gone. Lord, I'll see you face to face.
So I'm counting the number.
Are you living for the day? Enjoying every relationship that God has blessed you with. Family, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. Appreciating all the things He has blessed you with. A home, health, food, clothes, and so much more. Recognizing how good the Lord has been to you. Don't wish your days away. We don't have that many. Make the most of your time because time is short. A second reason we should make the most of our time is because the remaining time is uncertain. Proverbs 27 verse 1 says this, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." The humanity in each of us makes big plans. Our dream house, the car we're saving for, the next family vacation, retirement. And there's nothing wrong with planning. It's just that none of those things we expect to happen are for sure. As much as you and I think we are in charge of our desires and our time on this earth, tomorrow is always a question mark. Why, David said this to the Lord in Psalm 31 verse 15, "My times are in your hands." And that truth is pounded home every time someone we know dies. The car wreck, the sudden illness, the miscarriage, all remind us of the rude reality of life's uncertainty. I was once again reminded of that this week as my niece Erin shared the heartbreak of a young family that lives in Forsyth, Missouri. Their 2-year-old daughter had bronchitis and a double ear infection. And like most children that age, she was treated with a round of antibiotics and was feeling much better. But then soon thereafter, the young child had a puffy eye, nausea, a high fever, seizures, and then no brain activity. Doctors collectively agreed that this little one had a bacterial infection that spread to her bloodstream and straight to her brain. And so these young parents held this two-year-old in their arms until she passed away at 7:12 p.m. on Christmas Eve. I can't even imagine. Please pray for her parents, Mandy and Ethan Forrest, that they might experience God's presence and God's peace in the midst of their loss. It's important to make the most of our time because today might be your last. If you knew it was, would that change the way you lived? Would it affect how you relate to people? Would you say, "I love you" more? Would you spend more time with the people closest to you? Would you do something special for your spouse or children or good friends? Start practicing those things today. Don't boast about tomorrow. Don't live expecting it. Make the most of your time because time is uncertain. A third reason we should make use the most of our time is because time is the preparation now for eternity. Paul penned in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, "For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." Notice the Apostle Paul began quoting here from Isaiah 49, verse 8, which underscores the truth that the Lord is the initiator and author of salvation, spiritually rescuing us. But then Paul highlighted the urgency of being saved now. Saved now while you have the time before you die. Whether you believe it or not, the Holy Scriptures teach us that each and every one of us needs to be saved. The bad news of the Bible is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous, not even one. Throughout history, each person has missed the mark of perfection, God's standard. Worse yet, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The payment for all the things we have done wrong is spiritual and eternal separation from our holy Creator. But the good news of the gospel is found in the second half of that verse. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, the reason the eternal Son of God took on human flesh and whose birthday we celebrate at Christmas was to be our substitute and sacrifice, paying the eternal death penalty for our sins. And the Bible says if we place our faith in Him, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. Salvation is not gained by any good works, but by acknowledging who Christ is, Lord, God and Master of all, and trusting in what Christ has done for us, dying for our sins, and then being resurrected on the third day. And this is why Jesus said to the Pharisees, "If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins." This is why Peter warned and and pleaded with the crowd on the day of Pentecost, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. That is why Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus, and what? You will be saved, you and your household. So God has given each one of us a time, a period of time on earth, to believe in His Son so we might be forgiven and delivered from the penalty, power, and presence of sin. But I find that there are many in this world who think they have all the time in the world to make that decision. They keep putting it off because they want to be Lord of their own life and live how they please. Which reminds me of a story of a man who rushed into a suburban railroad station one morning and almost breathlessly asked the ticket agent, when does the 801 train leave? At 801 was the answer. Well, the man replied, it's 7:59 by my watch, and it's 7:57 by the town clock, and 8:04 by the station clock. Which am I to go by? And the agent said, you can go by any clock you wish, but you cannot go by the 801 train, for it has already left. Folks, God's time is moving forward hour by hour, minute by minute. And there are millions who seem to think they can live by any schedule they choose, and that in their own time, they can turn to God. But His time is the right time. Now, it may be later than they think, and soon it may be too late. But Scripture is clear. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't take the chance of missing your trip to heaven because you think you have more time left. There will be no second chances after your time on earth has run out. Make the most of your time. Receive Christ as your Lord and Savior today if you have not, because time is the preparation for eternity. Fourth reason we should make the most of our time is because the days are evil. The days are evil. Early on in this message, I quoted Paul's words from Ephesians 5:15 and 16. Be very careful then how you live, not as wise, but as unwise, making the most of every opportunity or time. But I did not finish verse 16, which is the rationale the apostle gave followers of Jesus in Ephesus to do that. Notice he concluded, because the days are evil. Now understand, those words were written to Christians facing intense persecution and opposition. And that evil could have ended their lives at any time. As American Christians living in the 21st century, we really don't understand the extent of that adversity. Ridicule, yes. Mockery, yes. The brunt of many jokes, yes. But not threat to our lives because we are disciples of Christ. Not yet, anyway. The evil we face is much more subtle. The evil we face is an evil world system ruled by an evil ruler named Satan. And his strategy is to tempt Christians to become careless in their use of time. To have thoughts that are undisciplined, to have bodies that are lazy, to have schedules that are full of meaningless, time-wasting activities, to have lives without a divine purpose and focus. You see, the devil's agenda is to paralyze the effectiveness and impact of followers of Jesus by filling our calendars with stuff that has no eternal value. Now, one of the evil one schemes, and this is just one of them, to accomplish this is screen time. In 2023, the average American spent 7 hours a day looking at a screen. about 3.5 hours on mobile devices, 3.5 hours on computers. Of those 7 hours, 2 hours and 16 minutes was spent on social media sites like Facebook, Instagram, Messenger, TikTok, and Twitter. 1 hour and 25 minutes a day on a computer game console. And 3 hours and 16 minutes watching television or videos. And just in case you think I am pointing fingers here, I really enjoy leisure and some relaxing screen time. But I know it is way too easy for me to entertain myself to death with hours wasted surfing the internet, hours wasted watching stupid TV programs, hours wasted watching bad movies, hours wasted on sporting events that I don't even care about, hours wasted reaching that next level on a video game. Please don't misunderstand me. I am not condemning technology or media. By themselves, they are not bad things. It's just that for some of us, myself included, our lives can get so out of balance and be wasted for eternity. The important things, like seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, personal relationships, evangelism, and service for God, can easily get pushed to the margins of our lives. In light of this tendency, what time wasters have you allowed to creep into your daily routine? What activities need some serious time evaluation? Because we are called to make the most of our time, because the days are evil. Fifth and finally, you and I as Christ followers should make the most of our time because we are accountable to God for the use of our time. A couple passages here in Romans 14, verse 12. Paul wrote to the church in Rome, "So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." And also to the church in 2 Corinthians, or the church of Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, "For we must all," he's speaking to Christians here, "must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Now, both of those passages are referring to a future time of evaluation after we die, when the Lord Jesus will judge our works carried out for him and others in this life. However, those works will not determine our salvation. Scripture is clear, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, through in Christ alone. But those works will determine our eternal rewards. And during that judgment, Jesus will consider many things: the quality of our work, how we used our natural abilities and spiritual gifts that we were given to serve him and those in the church, the kind of words we have spoken, and the use of our wealth, which all certainly involve the use of our time. So the question each Christian needs to consider is, will Christ find that I have been a good steward and manager of my years on earth? It was the great preacher Jonathan Edwards who suggested over 250 years ago that each person should live each day as if at the end of that day you had to give an account of yourself to God, of how you used your time. And I think it's certainly something we all should be thinking about, knowing that it will one day surely take place. So according to The authoritative and inspired Word of God. You and I who follow Jesus should make the most of our time because time is short, because the remaining time is uncertain, because time is the preparation for eternity, because the days are evil, and because we are accountable to God for the use of our time. In light of these biblical truths, how will you personally use your time in 2024? Close with this challenge from Pastor Chuck Swindoll. He writes, when the new year becomes a reality at midnight, December 31st, give God your year, afresh and new. Down deep, down in the depths of your spirit, dedicate yourself to Him as though for the first time in your life. Tell Him you are His and His alone. And you want the new year to be His year for you through and through. It just may be that time will vanish from your life sometime in the next 12 months. And eternity will take its place as you take your place before your Redeemer, face to face. And time shall be no more. God's timing for Christ's return may very well occur before you tear one more sheet off that new calendar. And then again, it may not. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 applies either way. Look at it this way. God's part, the time of my Redeemer. My part, the redeeming of the time. As an expression of our corporate and personal commitment to make the most of our time on this last day of 2023 and through the new year. Let's close by singing the familiar hymn, Take Time. Take Time to Be Holy.